can the Holy Spirit help you in your weakness? And how does he intercede for you? Hello, and welcome to Love and Encouragement to Live By. I'm Tammy Thompson, a Christian author under the pen name of T.S. Thompson. And you can find out more about my books by visiting my website at ts-thompson.com.
And I'm Jo Heather Dodson, your Christian coach, helping you discover what God has next for your life. Learn more about my coaching services at yourchristiancoach.net. Thanks for joining in today for your weekly dose of love and encouragement as we share part three of Resting in the Holy Spirit to inspire your deeper Christian living. Well, it's so exciting to be joining you again as we continue discussing Holy Spirit. 2 weeks ago, we started a conversation about who is the Holy Spirit and how can you rest in Him. Last week, we focused on discovering how having a relationship with the Holy Spirit can impact your life. So if you missed the last two episodes, be sure to check them out on our YouTube page or our website, loveandencouragement.com. Today, we want to discuss how the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. As we normally do, we'll continue our in-depth look by sharing different passages from the Bible, including Romans 8 and Galatians 5 and others. So you'll definitely want to grab your Bible and follow along.
Mm-hmm. And I agree, you know, that if you miss the last two episodes, go back and watch them. You know, you can watch this one first, you know, they're not in any particular order. You know, there's three separate podcasts, but it'll tell you more about the Holy Spirit. And we want you to grasp, we really want you to understand how special and how powerful the Holy Spirit is. You know, I was thinking about the image of God the other day, and this is kind of how I ponder things at times. I have different ways that I do stuff, you know, and I can see Jesus in my mind, you know, and I've had beautiful visions of the Lord and how I see him. And the Holy Spirit, I sense within me as part of me, yet it's separate. And I'm comforted by the Holy Spirit and I'm given discernment to make judgments. But when I tried to focus on God, I really tried to think about what God looks like. You know, I have to admit, I had a hard time kind of envisioning, how do you see God? You know, you think about the clouds, you can think about, like, I always kind of, when I think about him, I kind of think about this bright light, this really bright light. But the Word tells us some things, you know, about God, because I want to know God more. I hope you do too. So in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock and over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." So being a photographer, I focus on the word image. An image is something that you can see, something that you can visualize. You know, so God is spirit, and yet he is visible in some way. Now, maybe not with our human eyes that we can really see God, right? But he is a visible spirit. It says in John chapter 4, verse 24, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So we are made in his image, his likeness. But if he is spirit and not flesh, like we have, right? Then what part of us was made in his image? These are kind of things that I think about. You know, I ponder the word. I think about these things. It's good to ask questions, right? This is my thought process. Now, when I was younger, I just assumed that when I looked in the mirror, that what I saw was the image of God that I was created from, that he looked like us. Because we think that's how Jesus looked. You know, we think about that. I'm made in his image. This is what I see. Must be the image of God, something like that. But that was my flesh, and my flesh is going to perish, right? But my spirit lives forever. So upon pondering this, you know, I concluded that it is really our spirit that was made in his image. You know, there's probably some physical resemblance. I mean, God said he hears, he sees, he smells, the burnt incense, you know, and so our bodies, I'm sure, are made in some of the likeness as well. And so, and I guess when we go to heaven, we'll have the eyes in our spirit that we'll be able to see God in his image and really know for sure what the Lord actually looks like, to be able to stand before God in his throne and see his glory, right? So you're probably thinking, where are you getting at, Tim? We're talking about the Holy Spirit today. So this brings me back around to the topic that we're discussing today, the Holy Spirit. So the Word says that the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. You can find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Now, I want you to have a revelation on how much God loves you. When you love someone, you give of yourself to them. A mother goes through hours of tremendous pain of labor to bring a child into the world. She feeds a child from her own flesh. A parent would sacrifice themselves for their child, just as Jesus did on the cross for us, of that great love. You know, so the gift of the Holy Spirit was a bonus. I want you to think about this. What Christ did on the cross covered all the sins and gave us eternal life with God so that we would have that personal relationship with him that he created us for. So when God offered us the Holy Spirit as a deposit of our inheritance, we talked about deposit in our last episode, he offered us himself. He shared his Spirit with us. Now, guys, it doesn't get much more personal than that. It really doesn't. You know, God loves you so much that not only did he sacrifice his very own son on the cross, you know, to pay for your sins, but he offered us himself. All out of love. I encourage you to think about this. And Jo Heather is going to be sharing more on this in just a minute. But before I pass it back to her, I want to let you know how you can support us. So first, depending upon what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss any future episodes. But the most important thing you can do is to share this podcast with others, to share love and encouragement. And we want to extend an invitation to you to help our podcast grow. We're reaching people globally. It's very exciting. There's a lot more things. We just had our first business meeting of the year recently, and we're talking about all the things we'd like to be able to do. But it takes time and money. And so one of the ways that you can support us is by sowing into our podcast ministry through prayer and financial support. So we can do some of these things that the Lord's put in our heart, you know, that he'd like to have our podcast grow and do more. Because there's also a lot of people out in the world that are discouraged. They need a word of encouragement. Need to know God loves them, and we can do that through this podcast. And so you can find out how to sell into our podcast ministry on our website. We have a special page we put up there at loveandencouragement.com/donate. And also on our website of loveandencouragement.com, we feature early access every Wednesday to both video and audio. And if you want to save time and not miss that, we got a form. We got a special thing on our form where you can sign up for our email list, and we'll email you the podcast every Wednesday.
Thank you, Tammy. Well, guys, in this series, we've been using different scriptures and passages to help us uncover what life is like when we get to know and walk with and rest in the Holy Spirit. So what we're sharing with you on this podcast is designed for those of you who have made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Because when you choose to live for Jesus and accept him as your Savior, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, comes to live in you. And Jesus talked about this in John 15:26, where he said, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." So if you haven't made Jesus your choice, I encourage you, just listen in. See what you can discover about what life is like as a Spirit-filled Christian. And we'd love to hear what questions maybe come up for you. You can contact us through our website, which is loveandencouragement.com. You might have a friend who's a Christian you can talk with. You might listen more and begin to pray and say, "God, tell me who you are. I want to discover you for myself." There's just a lot of different ways you can read the Bible. Pray, get to know God, and let this just be an opportunity to spark your curiosity today. So we want to talk about your destiny with God. So if we're looking at Romans 8:23, it tells you that you have the first fruits of the Spirit. You're going, okay, what is that? Okay, you have this gift of first fruits. I just want you to hold it for a minute. You have it as a gift, and you have it as your gift as you wait with hope and perseverance for the redemption of your physical body. Okay, so you've got something in your hand. First fruits means you have a taste of the glory to come because the Holy Spirit dwells in you, heaven is in you. And if you listen last week, Tammy was talking about this in terms of a deposit, and there's scripture about that. Go back and listen to that. But this first fruits. So now I want you to look at Romans 11:16 or write it down, excuse me, to look at later. It says that as first fruits, you are holy. What do you think when I say that? Excuse me, the enemy's trying to attack my voice here. He doesn't want you to hear that you are holy. But you are holy because Christ as the root is holy and you as a branch are holy. And you might be sitting there and listening to this and thinking, no way am I holy. You don't know what I've done. But guess what? We talked last time about how you are now that you've chosen Christ, you're walking in righteousness. You're not living in a spirit of condemnation, but a spirit of righteousness. And the Holy Spirit is a witness to that inside of you. So I want you to hang in with me, because when you've chosen Jesus, your sins are completely washed away. Now, that doesn't mean that you never sin again. How I wish I did. I wish I would never sin again. But what it means is that all my sins are forgiven, those from yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So when that happens, you begin a process you may have heard called sanctification. It's a big word that simply means that you're putting off your old sins and you're moving forward in that holy life. And how are you doing that? How are you moving forward? With the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God living in you. So what it means is when the Spirit comes to dwell in you, you are set apart. And in the process, you're holy. You know, you're set apart for Him. I don't even have the words to explain the mystery. But for me, I see myself as being in the midst of running a race, running the race of being sanctified. I'm being prepared for my transition to glory in heaven. And so I identify with what the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 3:12 that says, I haven't obtained it or learned all that I should, but I'm pressing on to that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. And I can only do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's where the strength comes from, to run the race and to want to be changed and to be different. We talked about that last time. I'm not going to repeat all of that. Okay, so look at Romans 8:26. It says, in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty and empowers us in our weakness. For example, at times we don't even know how to pray, or we don't know the best things to ask for, but the Holy Spirit raises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. So just imagine how many blessings have poured into your life because of the hyper intercession of the Holy Spirit. I love how that translation says it. I just love that. So now I want you to look at Romans 8, verse 27. It says, God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings, yet He also understands the desires of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, His holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. Wow, that's a lot of words, but guess what I take from that? It's comforting to know that the Holy Spirit intercedes for you and for me in the midst of whatever you're going through. Even when you don't have words to pray for your situation, the Holy Spirit prays on your behalf. In your weakness, the Spirit helps you by making requests to your Father in a way that only He can.
Wow. That's so powerful. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So much to meditate on, you know, because the Holy Spirit is such a helper, you know, and He wants to help you in your relationship with God and with other believers. We have a whole family. Outside of the Trinity, we have a whole kingdom family we were adopted into. So not only is the Holy Spirit a gift from God to you, but the Holy Spirit also gives spiritual gifts to us. Let's take a look at this. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11, I'm going to read them to you. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. And to another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing from one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. And to another, prophecy. And to another, distinguishing between spirits. And to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one as He determines. That's a lot in there. So I've read these verses many times, and yet as I was preparing, this is the way the Holy Spirit works. As I was preparing for this episode, I saw something new. There's the living Word of God working in me by the Holy Spirit guiding me in understanding. He can do this for you too. I always got the point that these were gifts that were given by the Holy Spirit for the common good, meaning it's not given to me personally for my personal development, you know, but it's given to further the kingdom. It's for the purpose of the kingdom. But verse 7 really got my attention with the manifestation of the Spirit. So these 9 spiritual gifts are expressions of the Holy Spirit, meaning just like I shared early on how Jesus gave Himself for us on the cross. He gave Himself on the cross for us. And God gave of Himself by giving us the Holy Spirit. Also here, the Holy Spirit is giving of Himself to us of the manifestation of His Spirit. And that's a lot to take in and think about. But these 9 gifts are from the Holy Spirit. If you think about the Holy Spirit giving, you can't give what you don't have. So if you think about that, the Holy Spirit has these. Right? And He gives them to further the kingdom. So I'm going to read them to you in case I was going through and you weren't picking up on all of them. I underlined them. So wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So if you could think about it, it's kind of a good exercise to go through and think about the Holy Spirit, different passages in the Bible where the Holy Spirit has shown these types of Himself. You know, I mean, miraculous powers right there. He raised Jesus from the dead. You know, there's a lot that you can think about to kind of get to know the Holy Spirit better. Right? So the Holy Spirit is powerful. Just look at the Holy Spirit and the part of how the Holy Spirit was a part of Christ's life when He came here in the flesh. So when Christ came in man in the form of man, the Holy Spirit was a part of that. So in John chapter 1, verse 32, this is the King James Version. And John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and He remained upon Him. He remained upon Jesus. And in Romans 8:11, it says the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. I was just saying that. Jesus raised Jesus from the dead. If the same Holy Spirit lives in you, He will give life to your body in the same way. So the Holy Spirit came to Jesus when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and it remained in Him. Then the Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead. The Holy Spirit was there through all the miracles, the healings, the life purpose, Christ of ministry. It's interesting because we had this discussion. We like to talk about Bible verses and stuff. We were talking about this, about that meant that if He remained with Him and raised Him from the dead, then the Holy Spirit was with Him on the cross. You know, we talked about, well, because I know God turned back because God couldn't look at sin. You know, and I'm like, did the Holy Spirit leave him when he was there, or did he stay with him? He didn't bear this because it says only Jesus bore our sins. But it said that he remained, and then it raised him from the dead. I think the Holy Spirit was with him the whole time. The whole time when he died, when he was buried, and when he rose again, it remained with him. Something to think about. I love pondering scripture. So then Jesus promised us the same Holy Spirit to dwell within us. Think about that. It says in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, verily, verily, I say unto you that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So think about this. As a believer in Christ, the same Holy Spirit that was with Christ through his whole ministry and on the cross, he gives it to you so that you can go out. He just said, you can, the things that I did, because he had the Holy Spirit with him too, plus he's the Son of God, but he gave that to you. He's saying you can do these things because of the power of the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. That is really something to think about and meditate on. So we can do these things that Christ has said. And it's just amazing. I want you to take some time this week to really kind of meditate on how powerful the Holy Spirit is. And you have that in you. It's amazing. And with that, I like to pause and share that love and encouragement to live by is sponsored today by our very own Jo Heather Dotson, your Christian coach. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what if? As a credentialed coach, Jo Heather provides the space for you to discover the answers God has for your work and your life. Partnering with her through prayer-filled, structured conversations, you will create action plans aimed at fulfilling your God-given purpose and calling. Contact her for a no-cost connect call to explore how coaching will change your business and your life. And I encourage you to look for her weekly Points to Ponder videos on your favorite social media channel every Tuesday. It's a quick 3-minute message on how you can improve your Christian walk and quality of life. And she's got she's up on her fourth season right now. So she's got plenty of them out there. They come every week. It's a few minutes to bless you, start your day. You can replay them all week long. Get blessed. You can. It's like the technology's there that allows us to do this. Remember the days of the TV? You had to get it live or you missed it. Mm-hmm. Not anymore. Mm-hmm. Not anymore. So you can find out more about Jo Heather and her coaching services at yourchristiancoach.net. That's yourchristiancoach.net. And plus, if you want to be a sponsor of a future episode, or if you want to feature your favorite ministry effort, please contact us at loveandencouragement.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Tammy. You know, in this Holy Spirit series, we've talked about who the Holy Spirit is, how we walk with Him, how we rest in Him, and how He's our helper in our weaknesses. He makes intercession for us in a way that only He can. So as we're starting to wrap things up, I want Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25 to confirm for you what it means to live in the Holy Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, because it's all about obeying, resting, and living in Him. So in this letter to the Galatians, Paul tells us that to obey the Holy Spirit's instructions. He will tell you where to go and what to do. So learning to walk in the Spirit for me has taken practice and diligence and remembering to remember to listen and learning from successes and failures. And so what's amazing to me is that the Holy Spirit does want to lead me in all areas of my life. You know, if I've misplaced my keys, He wants me to help me remember where I put them. And it may seem inconsequential. And for you, that may sound like, oh, Jo Heather, that is not holy. That is not Christian. But actually, the Word tells me He cares about every part of my life, the big parts, the small parts. And so it takes me to my thoughts that, you know, when the Lord placed a calling in our hearts to adopt the boys. Okay, that's a big thing. That's not the key thing. That's the big thing. Well, we knew the call to adopt was bigger than anything we could ever do in our own strength. It was only possible through the strength of the Holy Spirit. So when you're guided by the Spirit and you rest in His leading, you don't have to feel at war with yourself or with the world around you. You know, when you let the Holy Spirit lead you, He will produce fruit in your life. You know, the fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all those beautiful fruits. So when you live by the Holy Spirit's power, that leading touches a whole of your life. And so for me, I like to think of it like a beautiful fragrance that just permeates the air all around you. It's just there. You just sort of breathe it in, and He's there. He's inside. So I mentioned earlier, you know, when you walk with the Spirit by living into the truth, He dwells in you. You abide with Him and He's with you. He's the vine and you're the branch on that vine. You draw your breath and your life from Him. It's through Him that you're able to produce fruit and to live out your purpose and call for your life. And that's, you know, the purpose is, you know, just to shine the light of the Lord's love wherever you're planted. I had that conversation with a gentleman earlier today named Brian. You know, he was saying, oh, you know, where are you planted? Shine the light there. So it's through that fruitful purpose, calling others to righteousness is what the word says, that you have the ability to change the world around you. Because the Holy Spirit is with you for the long haul. Tammy mentioned it before. It's not like in Old Testament times when He came and went. He's with you always. So if you ever feel like the Lord isn't hearing your prayers, let me just tell you, He hears every cry of your heart. And the Holy Spirit groans on your behalf in the times when you can't even put into words your needs. He hears every little whisper, every little sigh. He sees every tear. He rejoices in your gladness and laughter too. He's right there with you through it all. And man, am I thankful for my comforter, my counselor, my strength. I receive through the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And I pray that it's the same for you, that you can be like the disciples in Acts 13. They were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. You know, let that be us today, filled with joy and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. So true. So true. You know, Jesus, you know, He wanted us to be comforted, you know, and He called the Holy Spirit the Comforter. Now, different translations, you know, say different ones, call it the Spirit of Truth, Comforters in some versions and stuff, but that's what He wanted. He was getting ready to go to the cross. He wanted to be able to leave something behind to comfort the disciples and to comfort us, all the ones who are going to believe until He comes back, because He knows this is not a good place to live. It's a fallen world, you know, and He wants to give us beauty for our ashes. He wants to help us through the difficult times, let us know we're not alone, mm-hmm. you know. And yeah, because he prayed with His disciples. I mean, if you remember Jesus's, right before He went to the cross, what did He do? What was on His mind? His disciples. First, He prayed for His disciples, the 12 and the one, other ones that were around Him. And then He prayed for those who would believe through the word. That's us. We were on His mind right before. That was what was most important to Him. And so giving us this Holy Spirit was important to Jesus. He wanted us to have it. So something that we should definitely spend time understanding and accepting and coming to appreciate. It's such a valuable gift. Yeah, so Jo Heather was talking, you know, about the small things like her lost keys. You know, the details matter to God. You know, just look at creation. You just got to walk outside and just look around. You got to be outside because man made all the stuff that's inside. You got to walk outside. You do. You got to walk outside and you got to look at the details that God put mm-hmm. into thing. If He cared so much about the details of a flower's petal, you know, or you looked at the dragonfly, the details of His wings. You know, I have ladybugs in my house. I released. You know, we have the little ladybugs, the little dots on them, the little details of our cells inside our body. I mean, you know, Jim Bob, how he made his fur so soft. He didn't have to make it that soft, but he did. He didn't have to make him smell so good, but he did. The details. I'm telling you, God cares about the details. You cannot deny this. I want you to take some time, go outside, look at some things. Because when you think he doesn't care about the little things in your life, if he cares about all that little stuff, you are his prized creation. You were made in his image. Of course he's going to care about those little things. He cares if Joe Heather doesn't have her keys. She's supposed to be hands and feet. She's got to be able to have her keys to go do the things he's called her to do.
Amen.
I mean, I've heard so many people that I have witnessed to over the years where, you know, I'll mention something like, well, you know, I had somebody help me, you know, run some wires in my house so I can get internet up, you know, to my bedroom where I moved my office and stuff. And I said, well, he was having a hard time finding that. I said, well, we can just ask God to guide the wire. He goes, I don't want to bother the Lord with something so petty. And do you know how many people say those kind of things all the time? I got a little broken finger. Why don't I ask God for healing for that? Well, you need to wait till you got cancer or something. You gotta wait until you're desperate to have a relationship with God. It always just, no, God wants you just like a parent. He wants you to come to him and talk to him about all the things in your life. You know, when your child comes home from school, you want to know how they did in math. Did they do in their test? Did they make a new friend? Did they share lunch with anybody? You know, you want to know about those, and God wants to know. But trust me, you know, I think it's important right now that for you to understand he cares about the details of our lives, all of it. And he wants you to share. Nothing's too small for God. So we say nothing's too big for God. Nothing is too small. He cares about it. So the more you can listen to that small, still voice from within, back to talking about the Holy Spirit, you know, the better that your life is going to be. So we can often miss it or ignore it, you know, because sometimes we're just too busy to act. We miss it, don't we, Joe Heather?
Yes.
We miss it sometimes.
Yes.
You know, the Holy Spirit talks to us all the time. Mm-hmm. I believe he's actually talking all the time to us. And I can give you some examples. I remember transplanting lettuce outside a summer or so back. And I sat a few pots down next to the stairs. And immediately the Holy Spirit said, somebody's going to knock that over. Mm. And I'm thinking, I'll get to it later. No sooner did I finish planting the last one, stood up, and I knocked the flat down the stairs.
Oh, yeah.
All my hard work just went down the stairs. He had just told me. We have conversations in my house all the time about how when something happens, well, God told me I shouldn't have put that there. God told me I should have just moved that or something. And so I'll see stuff and it's like, I'll see something towards the edge of the counter and the Lord, push it back. Because the Holy Spirit knows somebody's going to come around and knock it right off onto the floor. Right? So he cares about the smallest stuff. He wants to help you in your daily living. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want you to have all this heartache and stuff. You know, he wants to make your life, I wouldn't say pampered or whatever, but he's there to guide you. He's like this internal personal assistant that God's kind of given you to help guide you through life. And you can ignore the little voice, but it'll be rougher. You know, the more that I can take time to be in tune, because I've heard about people who said they felt like they shouldn't get on a plane and the plane crashed, mm-hmm. or they should have taken a different route and there was a major car accident or something.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit, when you get in tune with that, it can be life-saving at some point. He can give you discernment that you're going to need to make a quick decision. And the more that you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, the better decisions that you're going to be able to make in life. So you can ask the Holy Spirit all sorts of things. You're thinking, what? Yes, you could ask him where to go have lunch. You know, it's true, because there may be somebody there. You know, I went out with lunch recently with Loretta, and we were going to go at a certain time, but it snowed, and so lunch got postponed to 12. Well, anyways, God's timing is always perfect. So we got a waitress that actually, you know, is, what is today, Tuesday? We're recording on a Tuesday. She's having surgery today. Her name's Samantha. We've been praying for her, her baby. Mm-hmm. She has a 3-month. So we happened to be sitting in a booth. It came up, and she needed prayer. She needed prayer because she's 3 months pregnant and she has a cyst on the umbilical cord and they have to go in and do surgery so that the baby doesn't like lose oxygen. I've been praying with her for her ever since, but that's why we were meant to go to that restaurant. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Because mm-hmm. God has a word for somebody mm-hmm. somewhere all the time. He didn't have enough people. So trust me, if you can be in tune with the Holy Spirit, he will use you in mighty ways to really help people who need a word of encouragement. So yeah, you can ask him, where should I go have lunch? You know, how can you help me pay down my debt? You know, the Holy Spirit, like I said earlier, he's like a personal assistant. He will help you understand the word. He is there to help us. He wants us to rely on him. That's why he was given to us. you know, God wants us to trust him. And I believe that part of being able to trust God with big things and little things is by giving us this Holy Spirit inside of us that will help give us discernment, give us comfort, give us intuition about things. He said it would tell us of things to come. He can tell you of those kind of things. You know, because we are part of the family now, right? You are adopted into the beloved. And you're going to be a part of the Trinity forever. Think about that. Forever. You're going to be a part of the Trinity. So get to know the creator of the kingdom, the family, you know, and with joy. Because we hope that, you know, all that's been given to us, you receive this gift of eternal life. And there's, we only have a deposit of what's to come, but there's so much in this kingdom, so much that God has set aside for you. And we're really hoping that, you know, we've been able to bring some light together with this. It's been a 3-part episode on just a little bit about what the Holy Spirit is and how you can treasure that. So I'm going to pass back to Jehovah because I know she has some things she wants to share with you before we close today.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Tammy. I mean, such a inspiration. And like you said, there's so much more to say about our sweet Holy Spirit. And we've only kind of scratched the surface with this series, so I know we'll come back again. So, you know, I just want to take a time to thank Holy Spirit for teaching us how to listen for him, how to obey his leading, living assured that we can rest in him, knowing he's with us always, and that he cares about the big stuff and the small stuff, the weaknesses. He cares and he gives us strength. So, you know, I want to give you a question of the week. You know, how can you feel more peace knowing the Holy Spirit is interceding on your behalf? How can you just kind of rest in that? And so I want to speak a blessing over you today. You know, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Yeah, meditate on that. So thank you for taking time to join us today and in this series. So just remember, depending on what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss future episodes. If you want to be a sponsor of one of those shows, contact us at loveandencouragement.com. Join us next time as we continue to offer you words of encouragement that remind you of God's awesome love.